I want to speak to you this morning about hope. Hope that can change the world. Jesus Christ is the giver of hope. Jesus Christ is the hope of the world. And in Romans chapter 15 and verse 13, the Apostle Paul says this about hope. He said, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Wednesday, May 1st, 1985, was the most hopeless night of my life. I had just endured a lengthy surgery where doctors discovered and removed a 5-pound tumor that was attached to my heart and lungs. Later, the medical staff told me if they had waited one more week to operate, it would have been too late. I was 38 years old, and my life suddenly came to a grinding halt. The doctor sent me home to prepare to die. It was a hopeless situation. I could hear the doctor's fateful words as I replayed this scene over and over again in my mind. "You have cancer." I was diagnosed with a rapidly growing form of Hodgkin's disease, a rare malignant cancer affecting the lymphatic tissue in my body. And in that initial surgery, the doctors were forced to take out approximately 1/3 of my left lung in order to remove all the tumor. And also they inadvertently severed the nerve to my vocal cords and diaphragm. The severed nerve made it the simple task of speaking extremely difficult. I was forced to talk in whispers for the next year and a half. I sounded less like a grown man and more like a young child. The doctors tried to give me hope. They tried to cheer me up. They said the nerve might heal itself. But all I knew is I couldn't talk and I couldn't preach. During the months that followed, I endured 18 surgeries and surgical procedures. I spent weeks at a time in the hospital. I spent a year and a half of debilitating radiation and chemotherapy, countless hours in physical therapy, and many days near death. There were good days, there were bad days, there were lonely days, dark days, and nearly every one of them was painful. And after a year and a half of chemotherapy and radiation treatments and preparing myself, the doctors finally gave me some good news. They told me I was going to survive. Aren't you glad that doctors are sometimes wrong? I know I am. And just when I thought it was all over, as if facing cancer and chemotherapy were not enough, I developed complications. The vein in my hand where I received the chemotherapy collapsed and produced a chemical burn, destroying the tissue in my hand and the tendons underneath and the entire upper part of my left hand. They said they had to operate immediately again. When I went into surgery, all they were going to do was a simple skin graft. No big deal, or so I thought. When I woke up, I discovered that the problem was much more serious than they had expected. And they literally had to attach my hand to the skin and tissue from my side for a month in order for the blood vessels to reconnect. So picture this: a grown man with the voice of a 6-year-old girl walking around with his hands attached to his side, stuck down the front of his pants. God has to have a sense of humor. That had to make him grin. For a month, I didn't leave the house except to go to the doctor. I was afraid of being seen in public. My son-in-law had to go buy me a 58 waist pair of pants to get all that hand down there. And I had to wear suspenders. It was a hoot. And after numerous skin grafts and liposuction on my hand to make it look as normal as possible, the raised scar still serves as a daily reminder of the gift of life and the ordeal that God brought me through. And finally, through the miracle of modern medicine, they were able to inject Teflon into my vocal cords, making it possible for me to speak. Also, ladies, as you know, when using Teflon, nothing sticks on the way down. As you can tell, I am now in robust health. Ran into a friend of mine that hadn't seen me in years. He said, you've put on some weight since the last time I saw you. Don't you hate people like that? And I said, well, the last time you saw me, I was nearly dead. I said, I'd rather be fat than dead. Write that in your sermon notes. I promise you it's not going to get any better than that one. So put that one down in your sermon notes. And every day since that day, I've adopted my motto for life. And it's this. Every day, I try to live my life in such a way that I accomplish at least one thing that will outlive me and last for eternity. And guess what? I'm praying that for today, that one thing is right now. This is our mission. If we hope to be shapers of the future, the greatest mission we face is to see ourselves as agents of hope. God wants you to be an agent of hope. And I want to challenge you this morning to think about what that means and to be willing to be used by God to be an agent of hope to someone who has lost all hope. And in the face of hopelessness, in the face of tragedies around the world, I want to challenge all of us, let's be agents of hope. You see, hope in the Bible is the calm assurance that God is in control, a peaceful promise that God is faithful, an unwavering belief that God will accomplish His purposes even when we don't see a way, even when the path looks hopeless. No matter how grim the statistics, no matter how hopeless the situation, no matter how bad the violence gets in our culture, our terrorism in our world today, Jesus Christ loves people and He can change their hearts and He can change their lives. We've sent more than 20 containers of food and medicine to Ukraine. Don't stop praying for Ukraine. They are hanging on with a sliver of hope. And if we truly understand this truth, that underneath conflicts obscured by politics and fear are people who desperately need our help, we will move beyond guilt and pity and start practicing an authentic brand of compassion, one that actively meets people where they are instead of simply hoping that someone else will do the job. Years ago, I was in a refugee camp in Iraq on the Nineveh Plain. And I saw a man hurrying toward me, carrying a tiny baby in his arms. And he was shouting and pleading with me to do something, but I couldn't understand him. He was speaking in Arabic. And when he finally reached me, he began to push his baby into my arms, repeating the same words over and over again. And finally, through our interpreter there in the vest, I quickly learned that his wife had been killed by ISIS, and he was afraid that his baby was dying also. And he wanted me to take her so her life would be spared. He was trying to give me his own daughter. He was hopeless. We were able to provide the hope she needed and the help she needed and saved her life. But as I stood there stunned, I prayed, "Dear God, this man has just lost his wife. He's about to lose his baby too. He would rather give her to me, a complete, total stranger, than having her die in his arms." We don't have to worry about things like that, do we? Millions of people around the world are staring in the face of death, uncertainty, and utter hopelessness. And the question is, will we be the ones to say enough and give them hope? Why is hope so important? What are you willing to do or give to bring hope to a desperate world? You know, we hear the word used in all sorts of ways. We hear hope used as in cliches and expressions of wishful thinking. We hear it used to describe a sense of expectancy or waiting, but seldom do we focus on what help means and why help matters. Leslie Newbegin, a missionary to India, had quite a bit of contact with hopeless situations, and he said, "The distinguishing mark of the Christian community is hope. That's who we are. That's what we do, give people hope. That's why the body of Christ exists. That's what makes us different. That's what characterizes what we do. A hope and a God who can do anything. We can hope in the fact that he is sovereign over everything, but chooses to use human beings to be his agents of hope. We must believe in a hope that can penetrate hearts and change lives in a way that nothing else can. A hope that has no boundaries. A hope that can overcome any obstacle. A hope for you in your sorrow this morning, or you're worrying this morning as you face that difficult situation or that uncertain future. The kind of hope that accomplishes the impossible. And that is why hope, by very definition, is the very essence of the gospel. Hope changes everything. And I want to remind us today that as long as there is a God, there is hope. And as long as you and I can work to bring that hope, whether by a cup of cold water or a box of life-giving food or an open Bible given in Jesus' name, we must try. And may our greatest desire be that we are the hands and feet of Jesus on the ground for the helpless and the hurting around the world. That's why hope's so important. That's why you are so important to what God is doing around the world. And I pray that God would continue to use each of us to do something that will outlive us and last for eternity. I pray that today God will continue to whisper hope in your ear. When my grandchildren ask me years from now, "Poppy, what did you do to help those suffering people around the world?" I want to be able to tell them, I gave them hope. I gave them hope. And so did you. Help and hope are both essential parts of the gospel. When we address the needs of the body and the soul, the result is powerful, and it allows people to understand that they matter to God for both now and eternity. I just received word this week, talk about perfect timing, that your school that you sponsored in Guatemala has been completed. Here are some photos of the completed project. The schoolroom has 25 chairs, and I can't even imagine the lives that will be changed through this. The school director sent this note for me to share with you today. He said, "In our community, we really needed the support of a classroom so that many children can receive their classes under a safe roof with more space, decent facilities for learning, for that and more. We thank you from the bottom of our hearts for approaching our community and giving us enormous support. With the help of God and with your help, this is how the changes began for a better future for our youth. We wish you God's blessings for you and your families. You will always be present in our lives and in the lives of every member in our community." Atlantic Shores, this is what it looks like to be the hands and feet of Jesus on the ground for the helpless and the hurting. Something as simple as a school chair. That's why hope is so important. That's why you are so important to what God is doing around the world. So today, will you choose to be an agent of hope? Will you be a hope giver to someone who has lost all hope? It's more about more than just projects or campaigns or offerings. It's about people. And I pray that our partnership will continue for years to come. I pray that I come back for the 40th anniversary. You be sure and get me invited. You'll need to put in a wheelchair ramp and a gelato machine. I pray that our partnership will continue and that God will continue to use each of us to do something that will outlive us and last for eternity. Because it's all about hope, a hope that can change the world.